Good day, ladies and gents. You are listening to Recovery 101 Masterpiece Radio. This program is based loosely on 12-step recovery programs. The format is less like a meeting and more so like having a coffee and chatting about various crap afterwards. The meeting after the meeting, as it were. That's right, folks. Another show is here brimming over with recovery. So remember, we used to suffer from insanity, but now we do so enjoy it. So please sit back, relax, partake, and thank you so much for your support, likes, and comments at recovery101.net. It's listeners like you that keep us in the garage and off the blues.
Thank you to Lori Faith for our Masterpiece Theater edition of the Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLAACRRRMMDRAHA. FAIR or any of all them other
all
guys.
The alphabet soup of recovery.
SMART.
What's rational, that?
That's a social model.
That's stupid.
It's a clinically based recovery program, actually, that has a 46% amount of people getting a year.
Sounds dumb.
But we're going to actually, just so you guys know, in the future,
yes,
after we research a little bit, we're going to do a show on SMART. Because I had a guy mention that we should possibly do some other forms of recovery, and I said, we've talked about a couple, and you specifically mentioned that, so I told him that I would investigate it, and someday we'll do it.
Well, bring somebody who can talk about it.
Well, that's what we need to do.
Because
we're not going to do a very good job.
It's easy for me not to care.
When we did Celebrate Recovery, we brought a guy from Celebrate Recovery.
What, Shelley?
Yeah, but not caring is your default position.
Oh, true. By the way, welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce, as always, with
Shelley B.
and Mark M.
So, it's exciting.
Close that door.
It's exciting.
What?
Time is fleeting.
It's fleeting. Madness takes
its toll.
But listen close.
Not for very much longer.
Yes, I know.
I've got to keep control.
I remember doing the time warp.
Sorry, we just had a little Rocky Horror Picture Show moment. Now that we've gotten
the singing
Halloween
of the program,
completely out of everyone's systems.
Thank God.
You know what's coming up?
Food Fest.
Yes, Food Fest. Food Fest is next.
Bye, Wendy.
Bye, Wendy. Wendy's mom
has got it going on.
Even the peanut gallery sang in on that.
You know, the funny thing is, I was just mentioning this to Wendy and her mom, that of all the people who've ever been in any even remotely peripheral way associated with the show, Wendy's mother is the only one who's got her own theme song.
She does. she absolutely does. So, what should we banter about?
Let's just banter about.
Okay, can I banter about somewhere not in this studio?
Sure.
When we're done with
okay,
the
bye.
Show.
Bang around.
When we're done with the show, you can. Well, you know when?
What?
Shall we get right into it then?
Yes.
Yes, go for it.
It's time for the boozy news. And the news not fit for booze.
What the? That was Dudas Interruptus. What happened?
That was horrible.
That was horrible. And you're on my cord.
The last
you're
couple
on my
of
cord.
Shows.
You're on my cord.
You've
you're
got
on my
your cord.
Cord
wrapped around my leg.
You got your cord wrapped around my, your leg wrapped around my, whatever. Your peanut butter's
wait,
in my
wait,
chocolate.
Wait. There's more people. There's more people.
Wow.
There's more people. More peanuts. Woohoo!
Holy
it's standing
cow.
Room only here at the peanut gallery
it?
Today.
Who is it?
We've
who
become
it?
Strangely popular.
Who is it? People
is that
know
Greg?
Him.
And who's with Greg?
Leanne.
Oh, there she is.
Did you guys come together?
Wow.
Right now.
There's right, like seven.
What? Right now what?
There's like
over
seven.
Me.
There's like seven
peanuts.
People in the peanut gallery.
We almost have enough for peanut butter.
Wow, there's something that doesn't sound right about that.
Peanut.
Guys, can you whip us
butter.
Up some peanut butter real quick?
We got five guys that can.
Five guys that can make peanut butter right now.
Okay.
It's
let's
peanut butter and KY jelly.
No.
Oh.
That's the well, that's the breakfast of champions.
Okay.
Thanks,
at any point,
thanks, champ.
If everybody would like to STFU so I can actually do some news here.
Okay.
Okay.
This story was sent in by Elizabeth.
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 Who's Elizabeth?
Well, she's a listener.
That's a new one. Who's Elizabeth?
Yeah.
We have a new who.
Where's Waldo?
Horton, here's a who.
This was at the Bobby Flay Steakhouse at the Borgata Hotel and Casino in Atlantic City.
The Forgata?
Borgata.
Oh, I was going to say, I had a lot of drinks there, but I forgot.
Joe Lentini.
The poker haven of the East Coast.
Joe Lentini was at this business dinner at Bobby Flay's place. The people that were at this business, none of them really are big wine drinkers. They're not big drinkers in general, but they figured, you know, it's a nice dinner. We'll have a glass of wine.
A
glass of wine.
How'd this turn out?
Well, what happened was that there was a party of 10. They decided to share a bottle of wine.
That's not enough.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
How do 10 people share a bottle of wine? These people are doing it wrong to start with.
Yeah, 10 people, one bottle? Even for a normie, that's a low amount. Right.
They didn't really know anything about, you know, because it's an upscale restaurant, so they asked the waitress if she could recommend something.
Oh.
I'll bet she did.
Ow.
She pointed to one of the bottles on the wine menu, and the guy, this Joe Lentini, he didn't have his glasses on. He said, "How much is it?" And she said, $37.50.
It was.
Uh-oh.
For the bottle.
$3,750.
You got it.
Yeah, the sommelier came over. Presented the bottle. They went through the whole ritual. Blah blah blah. They approved the bottle.
Uh-huh.
Whoever was having a glass had a glass. The bill came. The bill was over $4,000.
Yes.
And they all went, "What?" Whereupon they discovered that the price was not $37.50.
Well,
it was $3,750.
$37.50.
There was
zero.
Did they laugh good naturedly and pay the bill?
They didn't laugh good naturedly. What they did was, in order to facilitate certain people leaving the table, they paid. They separated out the wine tab from the food,
uh-huh,
so that the people that weren't drinking could pay the tab, and then they left. And then they hashed it out. It took quite a while that evening, and they ended up paying the tab.
Oh yeah,
yeah, of course.
But
they
they're not happy about it, and they're going all over social media.
Was the wine good?
No, the guy said it was okay.
That's because he's not a wine connoisseur. Well, like you said, these guys don't even normally drink. It's like, to this guy, he's like, you could have brought him a bottle of Ripple and he would have been happy.
Yeah.
They're like, how much is that wine? You're like, $1.50.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
That could have been $150. That cost me $2,200 one night.
Yeah, not knowing.
You have to be really careful.
Yeah.
You know what I did the next day? Started learning a lot more about wine.
Well, the patrons at this restaurant are claiming that because the waitress said $37.50, that she was misleading them and it was her fault.
She was, and it was.
But the restaurant says that this is actually common practice where they ask how much. Nobody puts the word $1,000 in there because
it'll scare people away.
Yeah, it's an upscale restaurant. You don't want to do that.
Did they leave her the $600 tip?
Well, you know,
it doesn't say.
Yeah, you know what it probably means, because if you think about it, $37.50 in a really high end restaurant,
uh-huh,
they wouldn't say $3,700. No. They'd assume you knew it was $3,700.
Well, also, don't read a wine list without your glasses on.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, really.
I'm surprised somebody else not looking at the wine list
When the sommelier shows up with your $37.50 bottle of wine, you might want to really take another look at the price, because the sommelier ain't bringing you a $37.50 bottle of wine. The busboy is.
You know what? I'd look at that bottle of wine. It would look like a bottle of wine to me. I'd be like, yeah, all right, open it up. Because I know nothing.
Now, Phil sent us this story. This is a case of, you know, doing a good turn with the one hand and smacking the person that you're helping in the face with the other.
Smacking some ass with the other hand?
This was in Ridgewood, and I'm not sure where Ridgewood is because I didn't write that down.
Okay.
At any rate, a sanitation worker was arrested after he found a missing toddler. But that wasn't why he was arrested.
What?
Toddler goes missing. Parents and grandmother, who was supposed to be watching the kid.
Somebody flushed him?
The kid is missing. Sanitation workers picking up trash cans, finds the kid, doesn't realize that there's been a bulletin put out on this kid. It's a 4-year-old, finds out where the kid lives and takes him home.
That's nice.
That was very nice of him. One of the men, there were two people.
We're
on
not blowing on kazoos, so I'm guessing this isn't a hero.
No, this is not a hero.
Okay.
One of the two men,
so
Michael,
far he is.
Michael Jordan, not the Michael Jordan.
Jordan.
Not the
He's
Michael Jordan.
He's fallen from grace, hasn't he?
I know two.
Not the Michael Jordan. When he went to take the kid back up to the door, the grandmother invited him inside, said, oh, thank you so much.
What'd he steal?
Blah, blah, blah. Took her wallet, which was sitting on the table. Then,
hence the kazoos not being present.
Then took the wallet back a little while later, claiming, oh, I found your wallet, too. It was missing its money and credit cards and driver's license, and demanded a reward for bringing the toddler and the wallet back to her.
Now, if it didn't have a driver's license, how did he know where to bring the wallet to?
Because he stole it in the first place. That's how he knew. Which is probably
stupid
one of the reasons
criminal
why...
criminal tricks.
Yeah. Which is probably one of the things that led to him being arrested.
Yeah.
And the... So he was arrested for...
Having
for,
her driver's license in his back pocket probably contributed
yeah.
to this,
yeah.
too.
So he was arrested for burglary, basically. Or
like,
or
is your name Mabel?
Theft. His partner in crime, the other sanitation worker that was on this truck, Michael McKnight.
They always travel in pairs.
Was also
is that
arrested.
Brian McKnight's brother? We got Michael Jordan and Brian McKnight's brother.
Yes. Was also arrested because he was driving the sanitation truck
Ooh.
Under the influence with an open container next to him in the truck.
Well, that's
Whoops.
Because they bought a bunch of beer with the money they ripped off
from
grandma.
Yes. So this was just a cluster F.
Yeah.
Cluster F?
Yeah.
Cluster F.
Cluster F.
Cluster F.
Cluster F.
Now, I'm not sure if we did this story before. I think that I got this, although this particular version of the story was only posted on Halloween, and we haven't recorded since then, so
right.
I don't really know. This version was sent to me by Phil, and there's a spider running down the screen. It's dead now.
That doesn't take Shelley but a second. Spider dead. Spider dead.
Three CHP officers have been arrested now for... There's a ring going around of CHP officers...
Working with sanitation workers?
No. When they pull women over and the women end up being arrested for one thing or another or whatever, when their
search.
Phones are confiscated, they go through the phones looking for nude pictures, then send the nude pictures to other guys in their little gang and post them on a secret website. So it's a gross violation of their privacy, and they're accessing information they wouldn't normally have privy to, blah, 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 all this other stuff. So they're in big, big trouble.
Be starting to explain the new breathalyzer test to them.
Yeah. Apparently this is one of the officers, Sean Harrington, has rolled over on his friends in this little group.
Yeah, I'll bet he did.
Wow.
He said this was actually a common game. And he's personally participated in it at least a half a dozen times in the last year, and that there are other groups within the CHP that do this.
California Highway Patrol, baby.
Wow.
Yeah, so
You know who started this, right?
Who?
Ponch. Poncherello started this.
Yeah, right.
Time ago.
Sweetie, he wasn't really in the CHP, I'm just telling you.
I'm telling you, he started it.
He was just an actor playing one. Bruce.
Well, he sells real estate too. You ever seen those?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's going to be more on this story to come, I am sure.
I like that. There's going to be more on this story.
There's already morons in the story.
Yeah, there's already morons.
Phil sent this one in. Also.
Filk?
Filk?
Mom.
Or film.
Of an 18-year-old son. Who's about to go off to Harvard. He's kind of a brainiac, and he's kind of a little bit introverted. And
how did mom try and make him an extrovert?
However, he's athletic. He's not particularly outgoing, but he's on the track team, and he's got excellent grades in school. But mom is a little worried that he's going to go off to Harvard without having popped his cherry. So she posted...
I was going to say, I hope she didn't
she
pop his cherry.
She popped it for him?
No.
Oh, my God.
She...
Oedipus,
put
Oedipus.
An ad on Craigslist to solicit
shit.
Someone to deflower her son. Now,
God.
In order...
Wait.
Yeah, how come he had the cool mom?
Yeah. My mom never did that. You know what my mom did for me? She gave me a goddamn sleeping bag.
Now, in order to make it not quite so prostitute-y, the payment for this was not cash. It was she was offering the woman tickets to a concert of her choice. of the woman's choice, not the mom's choice, at some future date. If and she would pay for the date at which the woman was supposed to deflower her son. Now, it caused a big brouhaha on Craigslist.
That's cool as hell. That probably made Craigslist best.
And it was flagged for removal. So
that's why.
So I don't think you could find the ad. Any of the you peanut gallery guys, don't go looking for the ad because it's down now.
Six guys just took their phones.
You know what? That the ad.
The ad doesn't help any of the guys.
The ad is no longer on Craigslist. But the ad is for sure available somewhere. Somebody copied and pasted it somewhere.
Somewhere, you'd think.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Why did you guys want to go deflower the sun? Once again, with the peanut butter and KY jelly.
Hamza's like, yeah, sure, why not? What concert? He's like,
what concert is it?
So anyway, yeah, I got that a little backwards, didn't I?
I think it's a Boy George reunion.
Our next story. Amber sent in this, our friend Amber W. sent in this story. Nathan Hughes.
We have a Nathan right here.
He's a penny ante boxer in England.
Clearly,
he went
that's
to
Nathan.
His favorite pub, the Liverpool Crown Court.
Who'd he box there?
Got a little bit, you know, out of control. So, and this is his favorite pub. He goes
kind
in there all the
so.
Time. The landlord of the pub kicked him out for being belligerent.
Yes.
Whereupon he blasted his way back in, grabbed the landlord, and bit off his ear.
Oh.
Ooh, Mike Tyson.
What's the guy's name again?
Yeah.
Evander
Nathan
Holyfield.
Hughes.
Evander Hughes. Or no, Mike Hughes.
Tyson.
Yeah. It was Mike Tyson, yeah.
Yeah.
Bit it all off?
Pretty much, I saw the picture. There's a giant chunk out of the side of his head. Fran sent in. Wait, is this? Fran sent this one in, and it took place in Port St. Lucie,
Florida.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Fran finds everything from Florida.
She does.
He does. The police were called to. Take care of a gentleman who decided to wander around on the street in his birthday suit. His name is Keith Beerfield.
So clearly.
This happened.
What else would he be named?
This happened on October 17th. He was wandering around outside in his birthday suit. He told police he felt a spiritual calling.
Oh, I'm sure he did.
To walk around naked because he saw strange things in the sky. Now,
how much acid was he on?
They don't really exactly know
yet. This is a crystal meth thing.
Could be.
Well, he said
could
that he told police he had meth and weed in his home.
No, there you
Thank
go.
Thank you.
That when investigators went inside the home, they found LSD, methamphetamines, and marijuana.
All of the above.
Did I peg it?
All of the above.
Did I peg it? Whenever someone says there's interesting things in the sky, I'm thinking LSD or shrooms.
Lucy in the sky.
Now, the police
Double
officer.
Rainbow.
Oh, my gosh. I'm never going to get through the boozy music at this rate. The police officer is quoted here as saying the defendant could not describe what he meant by strange things that called him out from the sky.
But take two of these and you'll see what they are.
But he said he's been seeing things for the last several days and that standing naked in his driveway was the only way to appease them.
Yeah.
Now, I have
to. Put this on your tongue.
Perfect.
I have to interject at this point that perhaps he had a little lack of blood flow to his brain problem because he wasn't exactly naked.
Uh-oh.
All he was wearing was a metal ring clamped around his penis.
Oh.
Now, if he's been seeing these things in the sky for several days, I have to wonder how long he had something clamped around his erect penis.
He may have.
Did we have a color description of the penis? That might tell you.
It was an erect penis. So
was it purple?
But it was purple
and
black.
It didn't say color. Yeah, it doesn't
purple
say color in the story.
Wow.
Ow.
He also told the officers
Shelly, you're supposed to warn us before those
Oh, that's
things.
Right. I was supposed to give you
leg crossing time.
Whoops, sorry. He also said that he felt a oneness. He was at one with the police officers and that this event with them coming to arrest him was just deja vu.
And would one of them please remove the metal ring?
No, one of the cops actually had to go inside and get a pair of underwear because he didn't want to go inside and get dressed. And I, you know, I don't know about the cops, but I ain't putting that naked guy's butt on my car, on my back seat of my car.
Yikes.
Cheeky.
Wow, we're like way over time.
Yeah. You know, you told us to stretch the booze out, the boozy news out, because you didn't have a whole lot of it. We've done our best.
Yeah, we did. We've done it. Well, it wasn't just us. The peanut gallery's been laughing like crazy. Okay. I just didn't know. Okay, we got one. This is the last story anyway.
Okay.
Promise? This one was also sent in by Fran. This
our
from,
number one Fran.
Yeah, our number one Fran tonight. Fort Collins, Colorado.
Oh, my parents used to live there.
Colorado State University student is, he's arrested on several charges.
Marijuana isn't one of them.
It's illegal.
I'm not sure. Possibly. It's not illegal. Duh, that's legal there. Stefan Sortland, he's 18 years old. He was charged with aggravated vehicle theft, obstructing emergency medical officers.
Aggravated vehicle theft.
Yes, obstructing.
Vehicle theft is usually usually aggravating.
Can I finish the list of charges?
Okay, we're sorry. Go ahead. Finish the list of charges.
Obstructing emergency medical service technicians, reckless driving, hit and run, criminal mischief, attempted motor vehicle theft, unlawful possession of a controlled substance and assault, and possibly lewd conduct.
Wait. So motor vehicle theft and attempted motor vehicle theft.
Yes.
Those were separate charges.
Yes.
Because anybody who stole a car didn't try to steal it first. That wasn't part of the process.
Right. No.
Okay.
Okay. What happened was, you know, he's at college, as college students are, having a few beers, as college students do. He had so many beers or drinks or whatever it was he was drinking that he went into a seizure. Whereupon his friends, I'm sure, dumped him off at the hospital, you know, right out in front of the doors.
Did he take an ambulance?
Right under the cameras.
Just hang on. Said he was being treated for his seizures, his intoxication seizures. Wandered outside. An EMT crew had just brought in another patient. He got in the ambulance and took off.
I love this.
Hero of the week.
The ambulance had a GPS system on board, so they managed to track it to Loveland. By the time they got to Loveland, the ambulance had been in an accident, the doors were broken off, and the front end was heavily damaged. He had hit the raised median, jumped the curb, hit a sign, gone the wrong way on the road, crossed back over the median, whereupon the ambulance finally stopped. He was found 30 yards away from the wrecked ambulance. He had put on one of the EMT vests and had his lower parts covered in a blanket and was carrying a box of Wheat Thins. I don't know where the Wheat
Thins
came from.
Where did the Wheat Thins come into the story?
I don't know.
You know what? Did he at least get to, like, blow the siren?
You know what he's going to
do?
No. You know what I'd do if I was him at the end of all this? I'd say it was the seizures.
Oh, yeah.
I'd sue the hospital for malpractice.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know where the Wheat Thins came from.
I'd go back and say the doctor wrote transfer papers. This was an inside plot. I'd blame the doctors.
After he crashed the ambulance, he tried to steal another car, but apparently wasn't competent enough at that time to operate the car. He managed to operate the ambulance. They hooked him up, took him into the police station, whereupon he dropped the blanket and masturbated against the wall inside the station.
That's where the Wheat Thins came. That's where the Wheat Thins came in, Bruce.
Yikes. And then he became a favorite amongst the inmates. Yeah.
Then he told the police officers that all his friends... He told the police officers that he'd done it because all his friends were dead and that they had committed suicide and were in heaven. I don't know why that made him want to masturbate in the police station, but that was why he said
it. It was the Wheat Thins.
It was the Wheat Thins. Now, he did admit to police...
He's gonna
sue Nabisco. Yeah.
He did admit to police that in addition to drinking, he had also taken something called Molly.
Oh, well.
And might have done a little cocaine. He apologized to officers after masturbating
did
for his actions. But then a few hours later, when they were moving him and came to bring him his lunch, he attacked another deputy. He then suffered an abrasion and finger strain. No, the deputy did while trying to get control of him.
Finger strain.
Finger strain.
I don't know what finger
from
strain
pulling
means.
The trigger on the taser.
Yeah.
I don't know what finger strain means. I don't want to know. And that, my excellent friends, is the end of an extremely epic boozy news.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101.
We're back.
Shout out.
To the New Way Foundation.
And Sober College.
At selfwillhappens.com.
We think.
.com.
Possibly. Do we even have
so
an
So, Shelly, we
that?
Have a topic.
What's going on with them?
No.
Oh, what?
We have a topic, Shelly.
You do have a topic. I just said, what is the topic? I couldn't remember.
I know. That's why I'm asking you.
Yes.
Mark?
S-S-S-H-O. They should know better.
They should know better. How did this come up?
I was in a meeting.
Yay! Helps the sobriety.
It does. Guy walked in about 25, 30 minutes late.
Of course. Newcomer.
Somebody just finished sharing. It was traditionally the last share before the break. This guy immediately...
Does this mean it goes extra long?
Yes. This guy immediately starts sharing. He's got about 20 years, and he goes into this rant.
20 years and 25 minutes late.
He goes into one of these rants, and he's in a meeting where there's a lot of people there who are infantile in their recovery. A lot of newcomers.
Oh, okay.
And he goes into this rant, and all I'm thinking is, you've been in this meeting. Do you not know better? Is that the best thing you could come up with to share for 10 minutes on?
Not on the
coming
topic.
Up on the break and not on the topic. And sharing a bunch of stuff that makes you ask the question, do I really want anything this person has? And I kind of ask the question, do people with time have a responsibility to the meetings?
Yes.
Yes. Of course they do.
Expound.
Well, A.
You had to say that word,
A,
didn't you?
The guy shows up 25 minutes late. Normally we like to show up on time. Then... he throws up on a meeting at right before break.
Yeah.
Because that's when you want someone to go over 3 to 5, when you're waiting to go have a smoke.
And when people will go, ew, and leave at the break.
Markedly less people in the meeting when they came back from break.
I bet.
Shelly, have you ever seen anything like that happen?
I've perpetrated that.
You've done that?
I
resemble that remark. Well, I mean, not recently, not in the last few years, but yeah, I've like had to be shut down by my sponsor at a meeting because I was going on and she's like looking at me and I'm like, okay. And then I stopped.
Wow.
And it goes on and on.
You know, Mark and I one time, we went on a panel. Matter of fact, Mark from the Peanut Gallery was there as well. And we went to go on this panel and we're going to do a 2-hour slot, and there was supposed to be like 5 or 6 people there, and it was only Mark and I. We went over.
We did go over.
Yeah, we did go over.
We had 2 hours and 15 minutes.
We had 2 hours and 15 minutes.
For 7 of us.
Yeah.
And 5 of us didn't show up.
Yeah.
Didn't bother you and I a bit.
No, we just kept going.
It's not just the ranting thing.
Yeah.
I think that people have been around, I think anybody that has a little bit of time, You get used to the meetings, you're into the flow, you know what's going on, you've got a sponsor, you're working the steps, you have a responsibility to not just yourself and the meeting, but to the newcomers, not to romance the drug or drink, not to throw up all of the meeting, not to go more than 3 to 5, and to stay on the damn topic.
You know what was shocking in the in that meeting? First off, I was there, and I was shocked at myself that I didn't say anything.
I'm shocked
because,
as well.
Because,
I am so disappointed
because
in you.
It's a crosstalk meeting besides everything else.
Oh.
So the optimum words would be STFU?
I mean, I'm sitting there. At the end, he's done, and the break happens, and I'm like, how did I sit here quietly through this?
So you lambasted him at break.
At break, I went up to him and said, what the fuck?
What the hell are you doing?
I said, dude, really?
Well, how about... And
I said, the topic was acceptance. He goes, what? I said, no, not really, but it should have been.
It could have been.
Yeah. And we all had to accept your bullshit.
Do you ever hear in meetings when there's a topic, and of course, 11 people in a row share, no one shares on the topic, and then there will be the one guy that goes, well, back to the topic. And then he shares on that topic.
That's usually Shelley.
That's usually me.
Yeah. How about other things where they should know better? I mean, Shelley brought up romancing the drug.
Mm-hmm.
We brought this up on the show before. We're at the Cocaine Anonymous meeting. A guy who was the former head of, what was it, Donald?
He was the GSR, head of the...
No, but he was like the...
He was the intake counselor for a recovery home.
But then he was also something in CA. He had just become, they waived the time requirement.
Oh, no, you're talking about a different guy, okay. Oh, the guy who was, he was the, the associate grand poobah or whatever it is.
Yeah, this guy starts sharing about, at a recovery facility, about how fantastic smoking crack is. No. Like, in front of all these newcomers, it's like just going on about, oh, it's great, it's fantastic.
You can see people getting edgy.
Shelly and Mark were fighting over who was going to shut this guy down.
Shelly got there first.
Yeah, but I was almost apoplectic. I only went on for like 15 seconds, and then you took the floor.
And there was the girl in the same meeting. Started talking about a fantastic drinking one.
Well, I'm getting a bad rap for that, though, at that meeting, because I've said it several times to several people not to romance it. And it's not just... I mean, you kind of, when somebody comes in and they've got 20 days or whatever, all they've got is
dope.
Drunk-a-log. So you kind of expect it a little bit. But when you got somebody that's got a year or somebody that's got, even a few months, you kind
guy,
of expect
the
them
guy
to stay
I was
on the
talking
topic.
About at the Thursday meeting.
Yeah.
It was a speaker meeting at the time. I was secretary. I brought this guy in to speak. And he started, and he's the intake counselor at a pretty well-known recovery house around here. That you actually went to, which doesn't narrow it down much, Bruce.
it doesn't narrow it down much at all.
That could be half of Southern California.
And he started sharing. Also, he started going on about smoking crack. And you and I were sitting there tapping the table.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, dude.
Well, here's another one. This has to do with Shelley. She had a guy come to speak at a meeting, and he had what she thought was a bunch of time.
He had 14.
Oh, when I was secretary?
He had 14. Yes. He had 14 non-continuous years of sobriety.
Well, he was actually recommended to me.
Yeah.
Because I was supposed to get speakers for this big meeting. And
10 years?
They had to have 10 years. That was the general
rule. He did,
rule.
Just not all in a row.
Well, and he supposedly had like 20 empty years or whatever. He gets there, starts to share, and suddenly we realize he just relapsed 2 weeks ago.
Ah.
And I was like, holy
That's
crap.
Awesome.
And
That's
I'm
awesome.
Looking at my other officers in the meeting, and they're looking at me, and we're going, like, oh, well, what do we do now? I mean, he's talking now, but I was kind of felt bad. But
surrender to it, Shelley.
But then we have our book study, the adequate book study. We read a chapter, and then we're supposed to share on the chapter. Now, it says...
Skippers.
It's shut up. It actually says in our readings at the beginning of the meeting that, the topic of discussion is the chapter we just read. However, if you have a pressing issue that you need to share about, and yes. I always say, I'm sure you'll find a way to work that in. But although the new secretary just says, you feel free to talk about that. I'm like, oh. But that'll happen. Like five people will have other issues they need to share about. And I'll say, I will specifically find something in the chapter that had caught my eye and talk about that. Not because I want
to
like,
ahead of me.
Not because I like one, well, I'm doing it right, but because we got to get the chapter in there somewhere. And somebody in the meeting, if it's not me, it's usually Bruce or William or maybe Nathan. Actually, Nathan, yes. Nathan in the peanut gallery. He's done it a couple of times. Share about the chapter because somebody's got to keep it on track a little bit. And that's our collective responsibility. You know, so when you're talking about being responsible.
Which, well, here's what I don't get. I can't think of a single chapter in the first 164 pages where I can't talk about whatever I want if you've read that whole chapter.
True, true. You could always find something to relate to.
Yeah. Except for Two Wives.
That's the chapter everybody loves to hate. What I love at that meeting is everybody goes around and they always say, I really like this chapter. You know, there's so much in this chapter. And they get to me and I say, I freaking hate this chapter.
Yeah, because it tells the four types of alcoholics.
Yeah, I know. No,
I'm all for.
My copy of the big book, In Two Wives, you know how you highlight stuff and you write stuff in the margins and stuff? If you look at my big book, in the margins it says stuff like WTF? Or big, just giant exclamation points, mm-hmm. or, oh, yeah, right, or whatever. Because that chapter irritated the heck out of me.
Shelley cynical.
Yeah, a little bit.
How about you, Mark? Besides your guy the other day, what's an example of someone that's done something that's just they should know better?
It's usually around people with some time sharing about stuff that just doesn't have any place in a meeting. I have a real issue with the people who have reached a point in their spiritual life where they get to quoting the Bible ahead of quoting the big book, and they get to letting everybody know that their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ should be your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And, you know, and you reach a point where I get it, fine, and we'll go right to higher power, and, you know, my religious views are none of your business, and yours really aren't any of my business.
Well, the Jewish guy over in the corner is taking offense.
Well, no, while the newcomer's sitting there going, see? See?
I told you. This is a cult.
Yep. And they leave.
It kind of is.
Well, I know.
It is a cult, but that's cool. So,
long live cults.
Well, you know, if it's not a cult, then why do we say, join us.
Well,
actually, technically,
you're freely of what you find in joy.
Technically,
us.
AA is not a cult because one of the first things cults do is separate you from your family. And
ask any wife sitting at home going, "Where's your husband? I don't know. He's off at another one of them damn meetings."
No, because the point of working the steps is to make amends to the people in your life. To correct the damage that you have caused.
Yeah.
And that's not separating you from
but
your family.
You know,
and the only,
to
thing,
repair
and the only thing you have to change is
everything. Yeah, well, you know, there's that woman that says, you know, he used to do crack every night and I would never see him. And now he's going to meetings every night and then to coffee and I still don't see him.
Yeah, but she's got more money now, so she's good.
No.
My 78-year-old husband sitting in the garage smoking crystal meth.
Oh, my God. I got this call one time on the CA hotline. And this woman, and her name was, she had like one of those names.
She had one of those 70, she had one of those 70-year-old names.
She was really old, like a high reminder.
No, it was Ethel, I think.
Ethel.
Or Edna. Edna.
Her name was Edna. And she's talking about her husband smoking crack and this and that. And I said, Edna, I said, how old is your husband? 78? And I'm thinking, I got to tell you, I'm thinking, he's my hero. this guy's smoking crack at 78 years old. Are you kidding?
I don't think he started at 20, though.
No.
Probably not. Well, when going along the same lines that you were talking about, people that have gotten to a certain point in their recovery.
The Bible thumpers?
Well, not necessarily that, but it reminded me of something I read somewhere called old-timeritis. People that have been around.
I have
around,
that. It hurts right here.
People that have been around so long that they feel entitled to say and do whatever the heck they want to in meetings, whether or not it's in line with the traditions or what's appropriate behavior at a meeting or whatever. They think, you know, I've been here 20 years. I can do whatever I want. Ahem. So,
whoa!
What was that?
Yikes!
What was that?
And here we go.
Round one. Ding ding.
No, I just sometimes I look over at the meeting and Bruce is playing a game on his phone.
How do you know I'm playing a game?
Because I see your little fingers going, and I see the little thingies.
He's not. He's posting. He's posting to Twitter.
No, he's looking at his stupid Instagram.
Instagram. To see what's coming up on
it. Game playing or looking at
whatever it is.
He's posting.
You know, she says that when actually I'm answering a dire question from Hamza about recovery. Yeah. See?
Are you covering for your sponsor?
He absolutely doesn't have to.
You betcha.
It might even be something from one of my other sponsors.
Yes, and how does that explain all the times when we're sitting in the Tuesday meeting and your finger's going whoop, whoop, whoop on your phone, and then you jab me in
so
with
many...
your elbow and show me the picture on your phone? Some stupid meme of a cat or whatever.
Well, that one of my sponsees sent me saying, how is this recovery related? And I said, well, let me tell you.
Bruce.
But no, but
you're
that's...
caught.
Yes.
You're caught.
Yes, he is hoist on his own petard here. But that's...
At least I'm not taking pictures of people.
Okay, PETA Gallery just said...
Knitting.
Yes, crocheting in the meeting. Yes, I fully do it. No, I do it almost every meeting. And you know why?
It helps you concentrate.
Because I discovered a few years ago that it actually helps me listen better. And I mm-hmm. get more out of the meetings now than I did before. Yeah. It's true.
Angry Birds does
that
too.
I got to tell you, you know what? I think if that works as an explanation, remember when I told you guys I was going to see if I could concentrate better by looking through Instagram? And what I found...
Every sponsee is the PETA Gallery is nodding their head up and down.
What I found is that when I look at Instagram, especially if it's program-related Instagrams that I get a lot of, that I'm able to... more fully here.
That is not analogous because I'm not looking at
notice
a picture
this,
reading
Patrick,
anything.
For later.
I'm keeping
he
my hands
busy. He
says
all the sponsees are sitting here like bobblehead dolls.
That's because he pays his sponsees to co-sign everything he does.
Apparently, I don't co-sign. I don't pay him enough.
You don't pay enough.
Okay, speaking of getting off track in meetings, we've completely jumped the shark here.
You predicted this would become an all skate.
I did predict it would become an all skate. But no, I mean, seriously, the old timeritis thing, that it does exist because I see people sometimes, you know, I've seen a few at the club specifically that just
at
kind
the
of.
The club? The only club?
Well, the only club there is now because the other one closed. That specifically. We had. Oh.
I'm so sad to see it go, too. I am.
Yeah, we can tell.
Where was I going with that? I have no idea.
Old-timeritis.
Oh, remember when we had the one guy that got empty bumpty years? I don't know how many years he had. Wanted to... Made a very disparaging comment to one of our young friends who had less than a year. And got all up in her grill when it was really none of his business, number one. Number two, then she's crying. I go to get your sponsor...
Who's going to kick his ass?
Who decides to kick his ass in the parking lot? This is entitlement. Well, I'm old. I can do whatever I want.
If you got 35 years, you can kick anybody's ass in the program you want.
Well, I mean, both of them had it. I mean, it was like,
yeah, they
really?
Both had time. But I tell you what, my money was on Roger.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
Roger would have owned this guy.
So.
But I was just a little surprised because I go to get the voice of reason, and he comes outside with his fist bared. I was like, holy crap.
She goes to get him to calm down the situation. My sponsor comes out ready to kick the guy's ass.
Throw some kerosene on the issue, huh?
Oh, yeah. He comes out. He's got fist ready to go.
Well,
I don't think my sponsor likes that guy anyway.
Ill called me the new breed of recovery.
And you put up with that?
Yeah, sure, why not?
You know what it is? When guys go like that and they come out and they're ready to just beat some ass, we call that MMAA.
So what about the old-timers who have the sense of entitlement that they've been here so long that they don't really need to be of service, they don't really need to do anything for the newcomers, they don't really need to do anything other than sit there and be grumpy assholes?
They've already done.
But, yeah. But that doesn't, no. That's not in line with the program. You're supposed to continue to give it back. You're supposed to continue to be a part of and
give what back?
What you were so freely given.
So they've been given a bunch of crap from a bunch of sponsees, so they're giving it back.
PETA Gallery is co-signing Mark now. Clearly I am in the minority, so I'm just going to STF you now.
You know what it is? You have no sponsees in the peanut gallery.
No, mine left.
Yeah, yours left. Yeah.
Okay.
So, Shelley.
What?
What would your final words on They Should Know Better be? See, my, well, I'm not going to see mine, but what would your final words on They Should Know Better be?
Well, they should know better. Once you get a little time and you know how things work, you can't just do it your own way. That's the whole point.
Mark?
Take care of what saved your life.
Ooh. What I would say when Shelley was talking about how the, you know, the peanut gallery was supporting us and everything, I'm saying, Shelley, you should have known better.
Okay. I'm sitting here recording
here
this with
go.
You guys, so clearly I don't.
Shelley's Shelley's double dipping now. Mark, who's our friend back east?
That'd be Bruce.
The other white meat.
Runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can read his fine publication online. You can get it emailed to you. You can get the subscription prescription. He'll send it to you via the United States Postal Service. If you have a sober living or a recovery home or someplace where many of us sick gather and there's no sexual predators.
Other than his crush.
contact Bruce and he will send you some copies to strew about the facility.
Awesome. Shelley?
Yes.
People listen to the show.
Really?
Well, maybe not after
just
this
for one. The hilarity.
Anyway that you listen to the show, we really appreciate it. Thank you. But if you could go to our website, recovery101.net, click on one of the shows, click like or permalink. If you are a member of Podomatic, you've just been counted. It helps us with our numbers, our demographics. Thank you very much. If you are not a member, you have the opportunity to become a member. It is free.
And fun.
You can listen to old shows. You can leave comments. You can leave topic suggestions. You can follow us. Follow.
Every day.
Apparently. And that will get you automatic updates of when we post the shows, which has been rather infrequent lately. Hopefully we can boost that a little bit. And you can put us on playlists for all your party needs. Thank you.
Good yawn.
Thank you. 500,000 people just yawned.
Yeah.
Wow, you think really highly of us, don't you?
I know. You know what? I yawned right after that. I just went. Yeah. If you are Facebook friendly, it's real easy to join Podomatic. You can just click login and choose login with Facebook. They won't spam you or anything like that. But you will receive those updates Shelley was talking about. If you are Facebook friendly as well, you can like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page. If you want to be more anonymous on Facebook, you can join the Recovery 101 group. It's a private group. People won't see your posts unless they're part of that group. We have an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook. And youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure as hell don't. Shelley, who's the lead out music by?
Billy the Kid and the Lucky Poets.
Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
There comes a point in everybody's life when you're not as young as you used to be, and you'll wake one day and you just won't feel the same, and you won't know why, but your world has changed. Colors don't shine like they used to. Stars don't shine like they used to. I don't wanna get, I don't wanna get old, I don't wanna get old, I wanna stay young forever, forever. I don't wanna get, I don't wanna get old, I don't wanna get old, I wanna stay young forever, forever. There comes a point in everybody's life. Don't know why, but we're not
in everybody's life. When you're not as young as you used to be, and you'll wake one day and you just won't feel the same, and you won't know why.